Catch a wave, catch a wave. Katie Gaff has stormed to the front. Catch a wave in front of Minstrel Swing Band. Catch a wave in front and she's done it. Catch a wave has won. Minstrel second to half and away. Third on the outside, Swing Band. What a run, Labrador. Into fourth, absolutely no luck. Jumping Jack Mack, blitzing by Mighty Ronaldo. Hot and treacherous, never ending. We'll check the video there. And last time is Spirit of St. Louis. 28.5 last quarter, home in 57.3. Mile rate 155.8.
Welcome to Scoring Up with your host, Gary Newton.
Well, what a race it was, the Nullarbor last week, and we've got some tantalising the Fremantle Cup this week, and Hayden King joins me online. How are you, Hayden? Welcome to the show, and wow, what did you think of the race?
Very well, Gary. Great to be back, and it was an intriguing and competitive race, as it turned out. We had duels at various stages, and a very tactical battle turned out to be the Nullarbor. And most importantly, we get to see a second renewal this Friday in the Fremantle Cup.
Yeah, exactly. No Spirit of St. Louis and no Never Ending, but the race itself has come together real well, and the barrier draw has made it pretty interesting too, hasn't it?
It has. Initially, when the draws were coming out, I thought, oh, Leverage won. He's just going to lead and win. But there's layers to it. There's more than meets the eye. You've got Penny Tiger out in the centre of the row, who has blistering gate speed, and he's the fastest beginner in the state. It's going to be a big battle into that first turn, and critically an important battle, which is going to go a long way to determining the result.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll go and have a little bit more of an in-depth look into that race shortly, but let's go back to the Nullarbor. Obviously, and it's not over yet, is it? Because there's a stewards inquiry that's been put up until Friday.
Yeah, it's not going to be changing anything too drastic. It's just if there's any suspension or any kind of interference occurring in that sense. But yeah, it's not totally over. Hopefully everyone gets through it mostly unscathed. But the race was a cracking event. We got all the action that we'd hoped. It'd been building up for so long. So when you get that in the melting pot, it's always going to reach a boiling point, which is pretty impressive, and that's exactly how it turned out.
And caught out wide, Minstrel at the back of the field, and she's going to have to wait because there's a bit going on at the front of the field. Coming off the back straight, out in front, it is the leader, Spirit of St. Louis, leads by a head. On the outside is Hot and Treacherous.
Last Friday, with Spirit of St. Louis holding the front, and then Hot and Treacherous wanting to retain the position, Lavrejo having an unsuccessful bid to get in on the action early. And then eventually Minstrel gets around, he dominates the race from the breeze. But all while this is happening, there's one horse that's just snugly sitting in behind them, Catch a Wave. And at the 600, when they were cramping up and he was working into it three wide with cover, really there was only one horse he wanted to be on.
Yeah, no, very good. Some good runs behind. I mean, you mentioned the Minstrel, it was very game again, wasn't he?
Yeah, as he always is, wears his heart on his sleeve, that horse, every time he goes out there, even if he is beaten, you know, he's not going to be bowed and he's going to be bang there in the thick of it. Went out fighting, narrowly beaten by a horse who had a more economical run and perhaps just better on the night. But he is just such an honest and earnest performer who is a credit to the Team Bond team.
Top Minstrel was huge in defeat, and Swing Band running a great race for Team Jevons.
And Swing Band ran a very good race, an honest race, and didn't do a lot of work in the run, but got home pretty well to finish third.
Yeah, it was a great result for the Jevons team and Ryan Bell. I think if you'd promised them third position heading into the event, they would have been pretty happy with that. So great to see them get a result. Kevin Jevons in particular pours a lot into the sport, so it's good to see him get a reward, particularly in a race like that. I'm sure he would have been very impressed. He's had numerous feature wins over the journey, but that one would have been particularly special. It's the richest race we've ever held in WA, and he's had a horse that's gone very close to achieving the greatest glory of them all. So a great result for them, and he has successfully put himself into the fray for this Friday's Fremantle Cup.
Fremantle Cup, yeah, exactly. And Lavrejo, we mentioned about him before. It was probably the outside the top two was probably the run of the race, wasn't it? So,
Yeah, the thing with Lavrejo's performance, you can begrudge him all you like for having made that move early to try to persistently get the position at the front of affairs. But had he not gone forward, there's no pressure in the race. He created the pressure, and I'm not sure how much better he would have gone had he just been anchored straight back. It's hard to believe he would have achieved a better position than fourth, and if he does, it's probably still not a significant winning position because he was the one that created those fireworks, and the fact he's finished so close is just a credit to him rather than being a dent on the event for having the lack of pressure. So, yeah, it's a peculiar conundrum, and it's almost an unanswerable oxymoron in a sense, but he's run a brilliant race under any estimation.
Absolutely. And he draws Barrier 1 on Friday night in the Fremantle Cup. As you said, there's a couple of interesting... initially, you'd think he'd lead from 1, but the other horse, Petty Tiger, will come out... Well, as you said, he's probably the fastest beginner in the state, so it's going to be battle on into the first turn.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be lightning fireworks into that first bend because Hall Jr., I interviewed him yesterday. There's an article that went out in Today's West, and he said, leading at all costs, coming out as hard as I possibly can, and whether he can remains to be seen. But the thing is, if he can hold the initial charge from Penny Tiger, that might be enough to seal the deal because over the 2900, Penny Tiger can't offer persistent drive for supremacy considering his long distance record. His win on Friday was actually his first win over a trip longer than 2242 metres at his ninth attempt. So he has been maligned for the fact he doesn't have that stamina, but he is beginning to build it because that was a pretty impressive performance last Friday. He was strong through the line and he ran them along. There was no room to hide. So he's peaking at the right time, Penny Tiger, and it's a credit to his trainer, Michael Brennan, that he's been able to consistently improve this horse on a lot of levels, not just superficially, but in terms of both his stamina, but his speed, and he's come a long way.
Yeah, he certainly has. But they're not the only two horses in the race, are they? Obviously, the Minstrel will be looking to put himself into the race at some stage. You mentioned Swing Bang coming out of that that great run in the Nullarbor. But it doesn't stop there either, does it?
No, there's talent wherever you look. You can look right through this lineup, and every horse deserves to be in the field. The one horse that was probably unlucky to have not got a run was Mighty Ronaldo, but fortunately, he's going to take the place of Diego, who unfortunately cannot be there. So that was the thing that sort of drew my, I wouldn't say ire, but perplexed me that he was omitted from the field.
Yes.
But all things have worked out in his favour in the end, although he has drawn out in gate number 8. At least he's in the field and he's in there with a fighting chance if there is that anticipated prolonged speed battle.
Because reading the steward's report from the Nullarbor, he did cop a bit of interference at the top of the straight, and he ended up running 5th in the race. 6th in the race. So it was still a good performance. So, yeah. All right, let's knuckle you down to your pick.
Well, I think Leverage O still has multiple avenues to win the race. Even if he doesn't lead, the way he's going at the moment, he can still win from being in an unfortunate position, even if that is to be leaders back, further back, whatever. He can still win regardless of the positioning, and gate number 1 is not a hindrance in that sense. So, you've got the possibility that he can kick up and lead, or 2, you've got the other possibility that he can still overcome adversity and claim the race. So, I'm going to go that way with Leverage O, but I am wary of the fact that Penny Tiger is a big chance of crossing and that would completely change the dynamic of the race. So for that reason, I don't think you can dive into the odds that are going to be rather cramped. You're going to need a bit of a price, which probably won't happen. So if you were looking for value, you might be looking at a horse like Jumping Jack Mac, who's likely to be peaking at the right time and was unlucky last week. it's another tough race. Again, another one of those races. There's just so much more than this gloss gilded layer on the top. You've got to go through many layers. It's like an onion.
Yeah, no, very true. It's and the barrier draws made it even more interesting, I believe. So it'll be great to see how it unfolds. All right, well, thank you so much for your time over the last 4 weeks. It's been a pleasure working with you, congratulations, and thank you for your efforts, and hopefully we'll get together and do it again come WA Pacing Cup time or thereabouts.
Yeah, no worries. Absolutely, Gary. And just before I go, I'll mention the Caduceus Club Classic. Yep. It's a really good appetizer for what we've got coming in the half an hour preceding that. But you've got Opal Hunter, who's drawn one. Robbie Williams has done an awesome job with this horse. Comes up with the pole in a race where it's really going to matter, because he's got Cork and Run drawn to his outside, who was bouncing back to winning ways last start. And then you look further down the list, Wave Rider, who was the preeminent two-year-old before, right at the very crescendo of those events where he didn't get things go right and he wasn't quite right himself. And then you've got Artful Major, who's drawn immediately behind Opal Hunter, who's going to be dangerous. Still a bit raw, Artful Major, and learning on the job. And Bet the House, who's really gone to another level this campaign.
Yes.
Had he drawn a gate, he'd be a heavy odds on chance, Bet the House, but he's drawn in 12, so he's going to be made to work for it, but you still can't rule him out. We've got a great crop of three-year-olds coming through, and who knows, in 12 months' time, we might be able to see them in the mix for the race half an hour afterwards.
All right, well, as I said, thank you for your efforts, and it's been a pleasure working with you, and, well, best of luck with your position at the West Australian. It's I enjoy reading all your articles, as I'm sure most of our listeners do. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Gary. My pleasure. Anytime.
Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.